A Tight Leash, a Man from Uncle fanfic, written by Alchemy Alice, read by Katie Hart, part 1 of the By the Throat series, rated for teen and up audiences, pairing Ilya Kuryakin, Napoleon Solo. Additional tags for callers, dubious consent of sorts, and dom sub undertones. Summary. Napoleon steps forward slowly. I must admit, he says, to being a little confused, because I could have sworn, he takes a few steps closer, that for a moment there, he reaches Ilya and raises a hand very deliberately to Ilya's throat. You were choking. In the quiet hotel room, Napoleon tosses Ilya his father's watch, and Ilya freezes for a long, long moment. Then he sucks in a sharp breath and fastens it around his wrist. His hands shake a bit, Napoleon notices, though not like the obvious tapping that precedes a tantrum. Ilya composes himself soon enough, however. He straightens and says, "So, you know what my orders are." "Same as mine, I suspect," Napoleon replies, as evenly as he can. "Either way, one of our countries is going to end up with some very dangerous, very volatile firepower." Ilya swallows. "Yes. Which they perhaps ought not to be trusted with." Ilya goes very still. His chest rises and falls like he's preparing to dive underwater. Napoleon cocks his head. "So," he says, more curiously than intended, "are you going to shoot me?" It seems to be a difficult question, judging by the consternation on Ilya's face. Napoleon is tempted to risk goading him, except, "Only if you make me," Ilya says. Then he flinches hard. That is, something is wrong. Napoleon takes one last look at the gun sitting in his suitcase, waiting to be drawn, and then steps away from it towards Ilya. "Barrel?" Ilya shakes his head, a quick, warning movement, his lips pressed shut, eyes downcast. His breathing is ragged. Napoleon could see it in the twitch of his shoulders. It isn't panic, though. No trouble in his lungs. There is something else, something... "Ilya, what? Don't." Ilya jerks a hand out and Napoleon stills. "I just need to concentrate." Napoleon nods, more in acceptance than understanding. Ilya's face is just slightly flushed, his eyes squeezed shut now, against some unknown, unbearable pressure. He looks frightened. Something has Ilya Kuryakin frightened. "What can I do?" Napoleon says after a long, thought moment. His voice, he realizes, comes out low and sincere, totally unlike him. He can't find it in him to care or correct it. Ilya is pitched forward now, very slightly, shoulders hunched, one hand clamped around his father's watch. He looks up at Napoleon and then narrows his eyes. "Say something irritating," he says hoarsely. Napoleon raises an eyebrow, bemused despite his growing worry. "Irritating." Ilya nods. "Your brain is a strange and wondrous place, Tovarish, I swear," Napoleon says slowly. Ilya's mouth twitches in distaste. "Okay, that's a start. I must say that while the KGB is certainly regarded as one of the great security forces of the world, it leaves much to be desired in its human output. Do they rewire you? Some sort of brainwashing? It's the only thing that could explain the rages and the stick up your ass. Extremity of feeling all bottled up in a giant Teutonic package." Ilya's brows furrow, but the color slowly leaves his face. His shoulders come down. He takes a long breath. "Should I go on?" Napoleon inquires. "Because believe me, there's much more where that came from." "No, thank you," Ilya exhales. He raises a hand towards his neck, then seems to think better of it. He frowns. Tovarish? Napoleon shrugs. He wants to laugh because that was unequivocally hilarious. He can't quite manage it, though. For once, Ilya's seriousness is also his own. He steps forward again, slowly. I admit, he says, to being a little confused. Don't. Ilya growls. He doesn't move, though. Napoleon, being Napoleon, decides to disregard that instruction. He studies Ilya, trying to integrate what he's seeing with what he knows. He knows tight leashes when he sees them, but this? Because I could have sworn, he says, and takes a few steps closer, that for a moment there, he reaches Ilya and raises a hand very deliberately to Ilya's throat. You were choking. Ilya's jaw works. Napoleon can see a muscle in his cheek twitch. I cannot say, he says through gritted teeth. He still doesn't move, though. Napoleon takes that as permission. Okay, he says, but can I continue to ask anyway? Ilya clenches his jaw again, but his eyes are locked on Napoleon now. And there's something else there that Napoleon remembers from the helicopter when they'd received their respective kill orders. Something like longing. Yes, he says. It sounds bitten off, like he'd been cut short. There's something under his turtleneck, a slight bulge. Napoleon has never noticed it before. Not breaking eye contact, Napoleon lets his hand rest on the dip of Ilya's clavicle. Ilya doesn't move, except to tip his chin up very slightly. Carefully, Napoleon hooks his thumb over the collar of the turtleneck and pulls it down to expose Ilya's throat. There's an inch-wide gunmetal collar sitting just under his Adam's apple. There is a complicated mechanism to one side, the lock. There are abrasions along Ilya's neck, some old and some new. Napoleon wonders in dull horror when Ilya had been fitted for this. He swallows. When you agreed with me about our governments perhaps not deserving the tape, you couldn't breathe, he muses, trying his best to sound detached. He doesn't know, rather he succeeds. When I annoyed you, you could breathe again. Ilya is silent. How does it know? Napoleon asks, pulling the turtleneck down a little further. His fingers brush the collar, skin warm and smooth. He identifies and then immediately tamps down a sudden visceral want in his gut that tells him to put two fingers between the collar and Ilya's throat and tug. Is your handler listening? No, he answers for himself, or you wouldn't have been able to let me close or even find this. No, it's something to do with your feelings. Brain activity? Electrical signals demonstrating complicity or resistance? He has heard whispers in the CIA of such experiments. It's entirely possible that the Soviets were ahead of them regarding this in addition to listening devices. Ahead or behind, depending on how one looked at it, Napoleon supposed. Ilya shudders. The band visibly tightens against his skin. The US government is the finest force in the world, because it employs real men to get the job done. Napoleon rattles off, staring at the band. Ilya glares at him, and it eases. Real men like you, cowboy? He asks snidely, but it sounds weak. Forget the tape, Napoleon says, with a fierceness that surprises him. I'm getting this off you first. He'll know. Ilya says instantly, shaking his head. You've gotten around it before, Napoleon cuts in. You have, to come back for me at the Vince Guerra estate. Ilya grimaces. Anger confuses it, sometimes. and after hearing Gabby, this is still unacceptable. Napoleon's not really sure why he's so upset, but there's something existentially awful about Ilya's predicament that makes him angry he didn't know sooner, even if he might have been even less charitable towards it at an earlier time. He can't even imagine having to police his thoughts, rewrite his loyalty onto his consciousness every day. He can't imagine the exhaustion of that discipline. He can't imagine having done what he and Ilya just did together with that noose around his neck. "It never used to be a problem," Ilya says. "Before you and Gabby," he doesn't add, but Napoleon hears it anyway. "Before this whole blasted mission, before Napoleon had put his life in Ilya's hands, and Ilya had returned the favor in more so." He wonders what Ilya's handler was thinking, handing over an agent with a death threat held on him. Maybe that was why he had chosen Ilya in the first place. No chance of changing sides without consequences. Damn it. Napoleon wants to live, and he wants Ilya to live, and they both want this damn tape destroyed, but if Ilya thinks treasonous thoughts, he'll choke. But Napoleon is very good at treason. "Okay, so do you want this tape destroyed or not? Wait, don't answer that. Don't think about it," he amends hastily, watching Ilya go red again. "You do, or you wouldn't have needed me to run my mouth a minute ago." "Okay." He takes a breath and then nods decisively. He tugs Ilya's turtleneck back over the collar and smooths it back into place. Then he flattens his hand over the base of Ilya's neck, where he can feel Ilya's heartbeat fluttering under his palm. He catches Ilya's gaze and holds it, asking a silent question he knows Ilya cannot answer without the band tightening. Ilya looks back at him, and for the first time, Napoleon is certain that he has Ilya's complete, undivided attention, and that the attention is neither out of hate nor necessity. He is intent, and he is open. It's a little intoxicating, even in these dire circumstances. Ilya breathes out hard through his nose and nods. Napoleon cannot make a hash of this. This counts in a way that missions don't. "Here's what's going to happen," he says, cool and even. "I'm going to burn the tape and not give you any choice in the matter because you're a patriot and would kill me given half a chance. Because you get the job done, that's what you do. You're one of the best KGB agents out there. I'm just a little bit faster this time because, above all else, I'm light-fingered." As quickly and as deftly as he can, he produces a set of police regulation handcuffs from his coat pocket and clasps one bracelet around Ilya's wrist. Ilya stiffens for a fraction of a second, but then suddenly he uncoils. His mouth opens just slightly, and his nostrils flare. "Okay," Napoleon murmurs, watching him. Ilya's pulse under his fingers thuds strong and even. "You just happen to have those on hand," Ilya says a little dryly. Napoleon frowns a little, raising one eyebrow. "You don't?" Ilya huffs, but his eyes have gone a little soft, like the metal around his wrist has loosened the metal around his throat. "The great," he says, nodding at the fireplace behind him. Napoleon snorts. The notion that handcuffing Ilya to a fireplace fixture will keep him in place is laughable at best. But it's the psychology that matters, so he nods, and with the hand still on Ilya's chest, he steers them both backwards until Ilya's back hits the wall beside the hearth. Without even waiting for a suggestion, Ilya slides down the wall until he's folded up, long limbs all tucked in and coiled, except for the wrist with the cuff on it, which remains extended. Napoleon looks down at him and has to pause. Ilya looks wholly too good at his feet, still dangerous and engaged, but pliant in this moment. Pushing the thought away, Napoleon kneels in front of him and fastens the other cuff around the grate, where it rattles, a parody of restraint. Ilya doesn't even test it, just puts his head back against the wall. His free hand flexes once into a fist and then loosens. On impulse, Napoleon puts a hand on Ilya's head and strokes down through his hair. Ilya, amazingly, allows it. "When I'm finished committing treason, against your wishes, of course," Napoleon says quietly, "I'm going to pour each of us a drink. I will, of course, make you drink, in a cruel imitation of camaraderie. Then I'm going to call Gabby, and provided she hasn't left the country with Waverly already, she is going to come down here and figure out how to uncollar you. You will be unable to do anything about this. Perhaps I drugged your drink. I will only be given a new one when I am sent back," Ilya says. He leans into Napoleon's hand, though, like he's too tired to hold his head up any longer. Against his better judgment, Napoleon wants to tuck him close. He settles for cupping the back of Ilya's skull in his hand, feeling the strength of the muscles in Ilya's neck. "We'll cross that bridge when we get to it," he says. "I liked it at first," Ilya murmurs, as if being cuffed had put him half to sleep. "Never any doubt, rather, I was doing a good job or not. All of it was clear." Napoleon's hand tightens in Ilya's hair without his permission. Ilya makes a noise from somewhere deep in his chest. "Cross that bridge when we come to it," Napoleon repeats, throat tight. He draws away against all instinct. He has work to do. The end.
I apologize for the accent.